Blog Talk Radio.
The spirit of carnality. Why do we fall into idol worship? It's because we are stuck in carnality. Because of carnality, the evil spirits invade our temples, our physical bodies, and we become submissive prey to their manipulative spirits. The Apostle Paul declared that the thing that we should be doing, he didn't do. Even when we know to do right, we still do wrong. The bottom line is that we need to be doing the right thing, not thinking about it, just doing it. Romans 7 and 19. Today, this morning, on Pathways to Truth Radio, live from the gas house, the spirit of carnality. Don't touch that dial. Good morning. I got a new studio. On the Pathways to Truth Radio from our new office in Gastonia, North Carolina. We got the Charlotte office and the North Carolina office. Pathways to Truth Radio is growing in the name of Jesus. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show this morning. Brother Frank, my brother. Good to hear your voice today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. I hear excitement in the air, man. It's in the air. We got these Carolina blue skies, man. So we're getting ready to go in, man. And like Brother Black Sheep used to say all the time, man, we're going to turn the lights on these roaches, man. but good morning, Pathways to Truth. Good morning.
Yes, sir. So Brother Frank, we have been caucusing this week. On the spirit of carnality, we are absolutely going to turn the light on these roaches, as Brother Black Sheep used to say. I think that I was thinking last night, going deeper into the expose, that understanding who this spirit is. Okay, so let's first talk about who the spirit is, because you know we have identified the spirit of carnality as an entity, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this it's real. It's something that is the word I'll use is tangible, and that there are traits of the carnal mind. Okay, I want to talk about some of the symptoms of carnality. Let's start with this, Brother Frank. This is the number one right here.
All right.
A secret sense of pride.
Wow.
This is the individual now. Now pride, that's Satan.
Yes, sir.
That's who he is. I'm gonna start right there. I mean, this does not impact a believer as much as it's gonna impact a Christian. Because the believer recognizes Satan, is not afraid of Satan, and Satan doesn't really have any thing to do with his life per se. So this secret sense of pride is an exalted feeling in view of your success or your position. Oh, I know I'm going to step on some toes today, Brother Frank. Because of your good training and your appearance, because of your natural gifts and abilities, your independent spirit, your stiffness, and your preciseness. Let's start there, the secret sense of pride. How about that?
Oh, man.
Can you deal with that?
Man, that. you don't cover the whole spectrum. You don't cover the whole spectrum with that, man. You know how many folks dwell in just that, man?
Yes, sir.
But that's how Satan can easily sit back, man, and subtly, man, just keep you in a prideful mindset, in a prideful state of mind, which is just going to leave you in carnality.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, listen, man, because with that pride, man, it's going to keep you there and hold you there, because you're not really, they're not even really meditating and studying God's word on how to defeat this thing, man. And most folks don't even know what we're talking about when we're talking about carnality, man. Carnality is like Satan has you, have you, because of your prideful self, spending of your time in non-spiritual activity.
Yes.
I mean,
that's
man, you know, they just, they, you know, he constantly got you, you know, always trying to be impressive to folks, always trying to boast to folks about stuff, man, you know, what you doing, what you and your wife doing, how great you doing on your job, how great your kids doing, you know, folks love to brag and boast about stuff like that, man. They real prideful and proud about, man, you know, my son is in college, my daughter's in college, man, they doing well, and my son them have a great job and doing this. Man, Satan got you stuck in carnality doing that foolishness, man.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna dispel some of this stuff going forward so people can understand and get a better understanding of carnality and how to try to get away from that mindset to get into the things of God and to think on the things of Christ. So throughout this show, man, we're going to be kind of laying out this carnal mindset versus this kingdom mindset that we're supposed to be living in, man. So, hey man, you hit the nail on the head, man, when you open the show up like that, man, because let me just plug this in right quick before you come back in, man. My wife gave me a revelation, man, a few weeks ago. And it just had me thinking, man, about this right here, man, when we was dealing with carnality. She said this right here, man. People know how to live being broke, but they don't know how to live being rich.
Mm. Yeah.
Look, man. Look.
That's good, yeah. That's a mouthful right there.
Listen, man, folks can do a great job living broke.
Yeah.
But you give them a little piece of money, you give them a little piece of money, though, Nick, man, they don't have a clue of how to use money.
They go crazy.
Look, man, listen, man, they would, you give some broke folks $10,000, bro, they think they don't hit the lotto, man.
Okay, that's a great segue into my next point. Okay, so we're talking about carnality. We're talking about the symptoms of carnality, about carnality being the spawn of Satan, being a direct indictment on the kingdom of peace, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so Brother Frank, carnality, we've got multiple definitions of carnality. Carnality, here's another one. It is a corrupted decision-making process. Carnality corrupts the decision-making process for any Christian or believer. Okay, what am I saying? This is what I'm saying here, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
Okay, another symptom of carnality is love of human praise, a secret fondness to be noticed, a love of supremacy, drawing attention to yourself during conversation, swelling, just overflowing and brimming of yourself when you have had a free time speaking or praying. You know, when somebody get, you see, you've been to them churches, Brother Frank, when we had mad church disease.
When we were just
chock full of religiosity. We used to get in them circles. We used to get in them circles during the prayer meetings and doing and everybody would try to out pray everybody. I know y'all ain't never had to deal with none of that. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. You remember them brothers? You remember them brothers used to just be spitting on everybody, squeezing your hand tight, needed a Tic Tac all in your face.
Yeah.
And Father God, rain down on us right now, Father. Yes, brother. Preach, teach. You remember all of that. So the love of human praise, the secret find us to be noticed, Brother Frank. Come on in. Love of human praise. How about that one?
Yeah.
Love of supremacy, drawing attention to yourself during the conversation. Symptom of carnality. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I just thought about when you said that, man, the prayer circle, how, you know, I think, man, that I got kicked out of the prayer circle, man, because my prayer was too short, man. I got up there and they said, Brother Frank, I want you to lead us today. And I said, I want to thank Jesus for his presence in our lives. That was it. Everybody started looking like,
ooh, I know them diggers was mad at you, boy.
You know how to have your head bowed. And I didn't know what you all close my eyes when I'm praying and stuff. So, Nick, I started looking around, and you know how people got their head down all of a sudden, you see some eyes look up, wondering,
yeah,
is this the finish or not? Is he going to say something else? You know, that was it, man. That's all I had for him. That's all I had for him, man. But let me say this, man. I got to get some more in.
All right, go ahead.
Finality. I talked to my wife and my daughters, man. I think it was last week sometime. We were doing something, man. And I said, I got this revelation, man. I said, when I die, I just need for y'all to bury me in a, like, my linen ephod, like some white linen pants, a white linen shirt, and put a veil over my face. You know, because I was thinking about this, man. It makes no sense for y'all to put my perfectly good black suit and my white crisp shirt and my necktie in the ground. Listen, all these dead folks that's walking around here that need a good suit.
Yeah.
get that suit to all these dead folks walking around here that need a good suit, man. Look, man, do not.
That sounds real good to me.
Do not put a perfectly good suit and tie and shirt in the ground, man. What kind of foolishness is that? See, that's carnality. Carnality is leasing a car. Carnality is you don't ever carry around no cash. Carnality is using your credit card or using credit more than debit. Carnality is you going to church every Sunday but not studying God's word to show yourself approved.
Wow.
Oh, man. Carnality is you having one huge tongue, the pastor, and many little ears, the congregation.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Oh man, I mean, listen, man.
I just got another book.
Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I usually get my books from Fuego, but I just got one from you. One huge tongue and many little ears. Oh my God, that's gonna be a good one.
Look, man.
Watch this. This is really good right here, where you're going with this. Okay, so let's build upon the one huge tongue with many little ears. Here's another symptom of carnality. This ties right into what you just said.
Yeah.
The stirrings of anger or impatience. But worst of all, you call it nervousness or holy indignation. This is a touchy and sensitive person. Okay, a disposition to resent and retaliate when corrected or contradicted. This is the person that you can't ever correct this person, Brother Frank.
Mm-mm.
You can't ever contradict this person, Brother Frank. You can't ever rebuke this person, Brother Frank. Brother Frank, you're going to love this one. You're going to love when this right here makes Christians madder than telling them they can't tithe. When you tell them you can't judge me. Only God can judge me.
Man, you talking about getting
that
mad.
That is a symptom of carnality.
That's carnality, man.
Can't judge him, can't correct him, can't rebuke him, can't reprove him. Touchy sense of the spirit. Righteous indignation. What you got for me? Hey, man, I got a long list, brother. Go ahead. Your turn.
Man, let me go into this. Man, the word of God says that a carnal mind is enmity against God.
It
likes or enjoyment that minister to the wants and the desires of man's animal nature or so-called. Man, many men desire for someone to like them on Facebook. Let me say this now. While we in it. Many men desire for someone to like them on Facebook. They get enjoyment from that ministers to their wants and desires. They want to be seen and acknowledged by many that everyone is watching me and like me.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that's carnality. Listen, man. Be the best Christian non-believer you can be. I hope that you go viral so the world can see you, man. Because the kingdom of heaven is not paying any attention to you.
Wow.
See, kingdom of heaven is not paying any attention to somebody who's in a carnal mind. Do you not know that the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God?
Yes. That's what the word says.
Yeah, that mind does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law. And it never will. The mind of the flesh is hatred towards God, bro.
Yes, it is.
But see, we don't realize walking in this carnality, that's what we're doing, man. We don't realize that, man, we're hostile to God, man. It's foolishness, man. This is so because the corrupt nature has a bad attitude and refuses to place itself under the authority of God's standards.
Yes.
Bro, we talking about carnality.
Oh, my goodness.
Carnality puts you into a hostile, disobedient refusal to place itself under God's authority, man, and God's standard, man. That's the mindset that you have when you're like that.
Hey, Brother Frank, so you're saying that this rejection or this rebellion against God is not subtle, but violent and ruthlessly, vehemently opposed to God's intent, will, and desire. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Listen, bro, for an example, let's take you for an example, bro. You get a desire in your heart, and God wants you to go and spend some time with your son down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you cut that time short because you got to get back to go to New Birth on Sunday.
God, why are you going to send me to New Birth?
They closed up here, though. Didn't they close down?
Yeah, man. They didn't relocate it. They know nomads now. I think they got a tent up in Harris Boulevard somewhere. You remember them tents, the revival tents, and they set up on the corner back in the day. So, Brother Frank, look at him, man. We talking about the symptoms of carnality now, because I know ain't nobody never talk about carnality like this today.
No.
Because this is what we get right now is from straight from the throne room of grace, man. The Holy Spirit said, give it to them. Give it to them unfiltered.
Yeah.
Give it to them straight, no chaser. Look, man, he said, here's another symptom, Brother Frank. Self-will. You're going to like this one right here. Ooh. This is right. This is most Christians right here. Oh, boy. I know they're going to start hanging up. There's a lot of people listening, but I know they're going to hang up after this one. A stubborn, unteachable spirit.
Oh.
An arguing, talkative spirit. A harsh, sarcastic spirit. An unyielding, headstrong attitude. A driving, commanding, overbearing. Listen to this right here, Brother Frank. A spirit that loves to be coddled, honored, and entertained. Now deal with that. Who are we going in this morning? We going in.
Nick, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, I got the spirit.
Yeah, okay.
Take your time, man. Take your time. I know that was a lot. Take your time. Don't feel like you got to rush because I ain't in a hurry. Go ahead.
Take our time. Okay, I know folks think that we playing around. I know they think that we playing around because, you know, we kind of joking around with them, but we serious as a heart attack. The prudence of the flesh is enmity against God, bruh. Look, it is not listening to God. It's too prideful, man.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to be entertained, bruh. It's not listening to a word the Holy Spirit got to say to him, man. Look, they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, your son will be saying, "Dad, you know, just you know, y'all got a little bit more time, man. Just spend the time with us and your granddaughter, man. Man, I gotta get back, man. Man, I would love to, man. I'm gonna have to come back next time, man. I gotta get back, man."
Yes, Lord.
Man, listen, man, this is why, Nick, thing that I should be doing, I don't do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that thing that I shouldn't be doing, I do it. See, man, because we're so carnal-minded, we miss God.
Yep.
Listen, man, look, you just laid it out, man. It's so stubborn-hearted, man. They miss God, man. I mean, so with this, with coming out of this carnal-minded mindset, man, I had to practice and meditate every day on doing the things that I should be doing. See, Paul said, the thing that I should be doing, I don't do it. Well, I had to practice and meditate on the thing that I should be doing it, I do it.
Yeah.
And that thing that I shouldn't be doing, I don't do it. But it takes practice. It takes practice and meditation on getting in that mindset, because Satan wants you in a prideful mindset, and he wants to keep you
Brother Frank seems to have gotten disconnected in the middle of his. He's going to be calling back in a second. But we can pick up where he left off. He's talking about this mindset of people when they're leaving, when they have left the presence of God, when they have totally abandoned all the commandments that God has given us as believers. When we were talking about this individual that, hang on 1 second here. Brother Frank, is that you there?
You got me?
Yeah, I got you, brother. Come on back in.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Pick up where you left off.
Can you hear me now?
I got
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay. All right. I don't know how I got disconnected, man.
Probably just got excited and hit a button or something. Go ahead.
No, but anyway, man, I was saying, man, that we have to practice and meditate every day on doing that thing that we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, Nick, man, what I realized, man, is that Frank Viola, man, reading his book, man, it helped me, man.
Oh, yeah.
It helped me. It helped me and helped my mindset, man, and helped me rethink a lot of things, man, and helped me in my meditations with the Word of God, man, to seek the kingdom, man, only. He said this right here, man. I mean, man, this thing hit me like a ton of bricks, man. He said that when I was stuck in carnality in the church, I was a muted, staid pew holder. Man, I got mad at that, man.
Oh, yeah.
That brother called me a muted, staid pew holder. Listen, man, he was so true, man, because I studied God's word and meditate God's word, man. I had a lot to share. I had a lot to share to the body of Christ, man, but in this atmosphere, I had to just sit there and be a good boy and say nothing.
Mm.
The atmosphere is not conducive to where the Holy Spirit can just be free and reign and just, you know, speak into people's heart, man. So I had to sit there with the rest of the many little ears and listen to those one big tongue. Oh, I had to come out of that, man. I had to come out of that, man. That wasn't helping nobody. The Pentecostal church, their passive worship experience was keeping me in carnality, man. I had mm-hmm. to study and mature out of the Pentecostal way of doing things, Brother Nick. Man, I was a silent spectator.
Yes, sir.
There was no room for me to give an insight to the congregation on what the Holy Spirit was sharing with me for me to share with the world, man.
Hmm. That's horrible. And that
it's
is a condition.
Man.
Yeah, that's a condition of the church. Not the body of Christ, the church today, the institutional church, the one big tongue and the many little ears, which is gonna a perfect segue into the next symptom of carnality. You see, Brother Frank, I want to echo a point. Brother Frank, our family knows us right now. We don't need to explain our laughter.
Right.
They know this is serious, but this is who we
yes,
are.
Sir.
We're laughing because we've been delivered. Listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
That's right.
So when you are free, you can laugh at this stuff because you're like,
that's right.
Thank God for delivering me from this stuff. And how is it that y'all can't see it? Well, I'm going to tell you why you can't see it right now.
Go ahead.
Now I want to talk a little bit about carnal fear. This is number five. I'm gonna review this at the end. This is the Holy Spirit gave this to me. So the carnal fear. This is a man fearing spirit. See, the carnal man is more afraid of man than he is of God.
Yes,
that's why the big tongue can have such a negative impact, or excuse me, have such an impact on his life, influence on his life, because he's more afraid of the big tongue than the Holy Ghost. This is a man fearing spirit. So this is the man that shrinks away from his responsibilities and duties. This is the man that tries to reason and explain everything. See, if you can't prove it to me, then I don't believe it. You know that man, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
This is the man and woman that shrinks from doing their whole duty according to what God's word says. Not partly, but in entirety. But they will respond to those who are in authority over them in wealth and position, more so than they would to the Spirit of God. This is a fearlessness that someone will get out of the Spirit and offend and drive some prominent person away.
Mm.
Okay, I'm gonna say this one slow. The Christian that will not engage the Spirit of God because they don't want to offend their boss or their celebrity or somebody who they perceive as being important, compromising and holding back spirit.
Yeah.
Because they fear man more than they fear God. Go ahead.
Man.
Ooh-wee.
Man, I'm glad you said that, man. All right, man. Nick, man, the Pentecostal, when I say Pentecostal, I'm including your church too. So see, y'all, all the churches came from the Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
It's just like y'all just done broke off into Baptist and Methodist and AME and all that stuff. You know, and y'all New Jesus Christ of Jerusalem churches and stuff like that. You know, we got the new Jesus church. You know, all of y'all. I'm all of y'all in the Pentecostal worship experience. All y'all filter down through this. So I'm talking about your church. I'm just not talking about Pentecostal folks. All y'all folks came out of this, folks. So this worship experience that you experienced in this Pentecostal came from the Pentecostal worship. So y'all pagan, it came from the pagan experience, so it's just filtered down. So, Nick, once I understood this, I needed my wife and daughters to be in love with the Lord God that I was studying in my Bible.
Yeah.
The Pentecostal folks didn't know him. The one that I was studying in my Bible, that's not the one they're talking about in the church. They're talking about a different person. They're not talking about they're not talking about the belligerent Christ.
Nope. They're
talking about a whole different God than what I was studying about in the Bible, man. It was totally different, man. So I had to make my way of escape and get my family out of there, man. And we had to demonstrate the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God. Me and my wife connected to my daughters so that my daughters could know who God was through the demonstration of it through their parents, so that they may live a holy and righteous life and so that God may be in the earth for generations.
Yes.
I'm not living the way I'm living for Christ for it just to stop with me. No, this got to go for generations. My children, my children's children, and their children. My children got to be able to teach their children and their children's children about this Christ that their grandparents, great-grandparents, Frank and Tiffany had, who they was in love with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. That's the goal that we're reaching for. So this is not about us. This is about God's generations. So how are you going to have an intimate relationship in Christ going to listen to one big tongue on Sundays?
Yeah.
See, people are in debt too long because they don't meditate on the things of God.
No.
And the people that are out of debt, they are afraid of the money that they have, and they still living in a poverty mindset. They out of debt, bro. They still penny pinching and thinking that something might happen.
Oh my goodness, this is good.
This
is good where you're going. See, Brother Frank, I want to talk a little bit. I want to stay right where you are. I want to just piggyback on this a little bit. I love the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
In particular, the John chapter 14 talks about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I want to say this. In this chapter, the Father God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikhanu, Jehovah is revealed fully in Christ Jesus. Okay, but watch this. Jesus say, I got somebody better than me coming. Jesus said, I got somebody better than me. Look, y'all need something better than me. See, the light should have gone off in the head of the person hearing this to say, wait a minute, if we are going to get worse as a human race, more carnal, more decadent, more ferociously wicked. Jesus said, look, man, I'm checking out because where y'all going, I don't want to be around this. So Jesus said, I know y'all want me to stay, but I ain't come here to be y'all preacher.
No.
Okay. So watch this. So Jesus promises them a helper to the person of the Holy Spirit as the indwelling of the Father and the Son. And promise them that this will be the gift of his peace. Now, Brother Frank,
I know I said a lot to you. You got to really, really take your time and study this chapter, but I know I just skated over it. I've been reading it for years. Okay, but look here, watch this. So when he says to us, he's sending us the helper, the Greek word is paraclete or parakletos. That means, para means close beside.
Yes.
And kaleo, the word kaleo means to make a call. In other words, this is a legal advocate who makes the right judgment call because he's close enough to the situation because he's been there before.
Good.
Now, you got to be dead to miss that.
Yes, sir, man.
Okay, so look, in an instance where you have violated the law and you call a lawyer, the lawyer has stood before the judge many times to argue many cases with the same problem that you had. He has a relationship with the judge. The judge sees the lawyer. The lawyer is right beside you. You come in with the right lawyer. The judge knows you got a great lawyer. The judge might have grace and mercy. In the kingdom, the Holy Spirit is the lawyer. When he brings you before the Father, it's a done deal.
It's a done deal, man.
All I'm saying, Brother Frank, the promise of a legal advocate who has been there before, in the modern day terminology, been there, done that.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit has been there, done that.
Since the
there's
foundation.
No surprises. Yeah, there's no surprises in the kingdom's, the king's court. So, man, that ain't nothing you can bring before me that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, nothing.
Matter of fact, I've already judged it. This is just a formality, young Frank.
yes, sir.
You're not the first man to fornicate. Brother Larry, you ain't the first one to get drunk and beat your wife up. Brother Cindy, you ain't the first one to cheat on your husband.
Yeah.
Little Lisa, you ain't the first young girl to get pregnant before she was married. Why y'all tripping? Okay. I made my point. I'm moving on. So, Brother Frank, go ahead. You want to say something?
No, go ahead, man.
Okay, here's another one for you. Okay, this is another one of my favorite ones. We're still talking about carnality. Because when people hear carnality, they automatically go to sex. But you hear where you are. We just getting down to number 8 on the list here. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just a list that the Holy Spirit kind of toyed around with me on. Because, you know, we could be talking about this tonight. Jesus come back in terms of a list. This is just some points, broad strokes, if you will. Okay, so when you hear carnality, then most people think about sex, right? Lustful things, unholy actions, carnal yearnings and desires, undue affection and familiarity to those of the opposite sex and the same sex, wandering eyes. Listen to this. Something that's inside of you that could not be trusted, a sufficient opportunity presented itself.
Oh, my goodness.
In other words, if nobody was watching and you had the opportunity to do it with your holy, sanctified, hypocritical self, you would do it. Come on.
See, Brother Frank, that right there is exactly how I learned what worshiping God means. See, the church taught us that worshiping God means going to the sanctuary, holding up holy hands, and snotting and crying,
mm-hmm.
and waving, oh Lord, oh Lord. No, that's not worship right there. No. Worship is I can get away with it, I can do it, but I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
See.
Yes, sir.
I've been thinking about it. I got it underneath my skin. When I get the opportunity, I'm gonna do this. As soon as I get free, as soon as I get the right opportunity, I'm gonna do it. Well, worship is I don't do that thing that's underneath my skin that want me to do it. I don't do it because I still want God's favor, love, peace, and joy in my life, man. So I don't rebel against Him with my flesh. Because I know that the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. The Word of God taught me that. So the enmity against God, it's against it. The mind of the flesh is against God. So I had to practice in my spirit the things that was for God and not against Him. So with the meditation and the practicing of it, I started doing the things that I should be doing. I started doing it, and the things that I shouldn't be doing, I stopped doing it. Okay, so here is an example. Spiritually, I know that God gave me a wife to help me. So a wife is for my good. I know that. Okay, so all I had to do was to ask the Holy Spirit, how beneficial is a wife to me? And he just said, man, Frank Billions, man, I'm glad you asked me that, man. And so once I asked the question, I ain't talk no more. I just stayed quiet. What am I going to say to him? I'm just listening from here on out. You know what I mean? I done inclined my ears now to hear him for him to pour out into me. So here is a mystery that he shared with me is that this right here. This is a mystery now, husband. If y'all can grab this, man, y'all might be on y'all way if you can grab this. Okay. The devil wants to frustrate a husband by having his wife to disagree with almost every suggestion he has.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
But you got to be strong through this process. You got to be strong and work with the Holy Spirit and work your way through this, because it can get frustrating when your wife is in disagreement with you all the time. They don't want to do your suggestion. They want their will to be done. They don't want your will to be done. They want to be able to do it. You got to be able to work through this, though, okay, because this is working out for your good. See, a wife is for your good. And the one that endures to the end, you're going to be able to win your wife over. See, your wife do not know that disagreement brings you all outside of the kingdom, and God is not in the midst. So as a husband, although your wife is disagreeing, you got to find a way to agree with your wife, because when you agree with your wife, God comes back into the midst of it.
Yeah.
So she represents my flesh nature, and the flesh is enmity against God, bro.
Yes, sir.
See, the husband supposed to represent the spirit. That's why I see most wives done got married to a husband that's not spiritual, so they uncover it and they don't understand and they can't get the mysteries of God and understand why a man is still arguing back and forth with them. Let me do this as a side note because I don't want to leave this out. If you are a man and it is you in disagreement with your wife and she has to agree with you all the time, you have a woman spirit, and you have to ask God to help you to change.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, you do.
Oh, my goodness. So
yeah, that's a punch
husband,
in the gut right there.
Yeah, so as a husband, I cannot get frustrated And I have to find ways to agree with my wife through the process, because ultimately God's way of doing things will win over her spirit. But most husbands, Nick, they fail this process, so their marriage is always walking in division because they don't know how to come to common ground and agree.
Mm.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's
so
good.
So, yeah, man, so it's like what you said in the intro, why do we fall into idol worship? Nick, it's simply because we have not so learned Christ.
Yes.
So they fall into idol worship, man. If you got a husband and a wife that's arguing all the time, man, never can come to agreement about stuff because the husband wants his way, the wife wants her way, and you outside the kingdom. Big Brother Isaiah taught me that the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh my mind, ears to hear as the learned. Okay, what he's saying is that Big Brother Isaiah, he has learned Christ, Nick. So what I started doing was reading and studying and meditating what Isaiah was doing, because he already learned Christ. I wanted to hear the same way he heard Christ. So what I did was, as I meditated and studied on what Brother Isaiah was doing and how he was saying these things about God, man, my ears became tuned to it, and I was able to learn just like Isaiah learned.
Yes, sir.
I just use his principles because I wanted to hear God just like Big Brother Isaiah.
Yes, sir.
So what the Word of God said, that the Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither did I turn away back. Okay, what that turn away back means, that turned away from hearing God and went back to hearing the carnal things and the carnal things of this world.
Oh. My goodness.
Listen, bro.
That's good, man.
Yeah, man, listen, bro. Isaiah taught me this, man. Now, this is not no easy task. This takes some time. This is not no easy task. This don't take some time and meditation. Because you're going to have to do this process right here. He said that, Frank, okay, if you want to learn like I learned, you want to do the things that I did, one thing you're going to have to do, because, you know, I had to focus on Christ, and I had to do what Christ did. And what Christ did was I had to give my back to the smiters. And I had to give my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. And I had to hide not my face from shame and the spitting. So hear me. Most Christian non-believers are afraid of what others might say about them if they don't come to church. Look, the devil got them in a shame. They're ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Don't die in your shame. God said to me, and I did this, Frank, give your back to the smiters, give your cheek to the pluckers, and give your face to the spitters. So when I did that, my spiritual receptiveness to Christ, my hearing ears to Christ, my submission to Christ, my obedience to Christ, my straightforwardness to Christ, my smiting for Christ, my suffering for Christ, my being spit upon for Christ is well worth the shame.
Yeah.
Nick, man.
That's good.
Nick, man. If you want this spiritual life, you got to deal with the smiters, the pluckers, and the spitters.
Absolutely. See, the last point that I want to make, I'm combining two.
Yes.
This carnal symptom of carnality, this is important. This carnal person is dishonest and deceitful. I could really stop right there, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
The dishonest person, the deceitful person, the person that evades and covers the truth, even his own faults, he wants to leave or she wants to leave a better impression of themselves than that which is the truth. This false humility, I'm blessed and highly favored. Exaggeration. And straining the truth. This person is rooted and grounded in unbelief. And that spirit is transferable because it creates a spirit of discouragement in times of pressure and opposition. It is pervasive, widespread in families where the man has not taken his rightful place as a father and a husband. And he don't really believe. His wife and his children, they don't believe. The people in his congregation, they don't believe, and that spirit of discouragement and fear in times of pressure and opposition and all of the difficult times that God promises we're going to have in Him, it causes a lack of confidence in God, a lack of faith, and a lack of trust in God. Lastly, this disposition creates worry and creates complaints in the midst of pain and adversity, in poverty, and in other dispensations of divine providence, meaning the things that God does for you that he told you is going to happen and you can't handle it because you're a punk in the Holy Ghost.
Wow. Yeah.
That's it. I'm done.
Bruh.
You wrap it up.
Like, okay. Yeah, this is tough. This is real tough. That punk in the Holy Ghost, this is real tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why though, Nick, we have a divine helper.
Yes.
For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed, because there is no more condemnation. Carnality keeps you in a spiritual darkness. You have no light. You shall lie down in sorrow, meaning death of the wicked. John said that it is written in the prophets, and they say that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. Many of our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, Nick, but they are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that we're talking about, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Christ is that living bread that we're talking about today. And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Okay, here is the mystery. To those who think you have to go to seminary school to learn the letters of the Bible and teach them, Christ said, if any man will do his will, shall know of the doctrines, whether it be of God or whether Christ speak it himself. Nick, man, I thank you for today. And talking about this spiritual, this carnality, man, because I don't have to do anything but do his will, and I can learn Christ.
Amen.
Hey, that's it, man.
I want to thank you guys again for listening. All the listeners that tuned in today from Pathways to Truth Radio, tune in next week, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, as we go live. Next week's show, fix it Jesus. For all of the Christians that want Jesus to fix their mess. Be strong. Believe in yourself. And don't be afraid. Read your word. Study, meditate, and then demonstrate God's word in the marketplace. Peace and blessings.